On today's episode, we have nothing but hot takes. We are going over the most overrated restaurants at Walt Disney World. This is episode 110 of the Off the Monorails podcast. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. This is the Off the Monorails podcast. And it does sound a little different because this is Ryan talking you in for a change. And I'm here, as always, with my two good friends, brother and cousin, Justin and Jordan. So, guys, how are we doing today?
What's up?
Howdy. Doing great.
It's great to hear.
Enjoying a nice cold Michelob Golden Light.
Yeah, let's just pretend as everyone's listening that I'm rocking a little bit and ship is swaying.
Oh,
as everyone's listening to this, I'm probably, if you're listening on premiere day, I'm probably boarding the ship right now as you listen.
And I'll be jealous.
What a vibe.
Yeah. I will be so jealous. But yes, at the time of this beautiful show hitting your ears, Jordan will be on the high seas enjoying his best life upon the Disney Wish, and I couldn't be happier for him, that's for sure. I'll be right behind you in about 60 days. Mm-hmm. I'll be reliving the same thing right before Memorial Day. So, my friend, I cannot wait to hear all of your experiences and adventures. And whenever I get back, we're going to have like a two-episode series to unpack everything, because I know I've got some big plans.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. I cannot wait. I know we've talked about it time and time again on this show, all these different episodes leading up to it, but it really is going to be pretty monumental. I mean, we've been on a lot of cruises, and everyone compares that Disney is the top-of-the-line experience when it comes to cruise lines. So, having never been on Disney Cruise Line, I'm very eager to see what the hype is all about and see if it's for real. It's a big deal, and there's a lot of time, a lot of planning, a lot of preparation for this, and a lot goes into it. So, going to make the most of it for sure, and plan on getting a lot of content and details to bring back to all of our listeners to listen to and even watch.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. See, I've heard time and time again, from people that have gone on Disney cruises. And like Jordan said, we've always done Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Norwegian, you name it. We've cruised mm-hmm. with those time and time again. And everybody says, well, Disney cruises are just a little bit different, they're a little more, but we always talk about the Disney difference within the resorts and theme parks. So it has mm-hmm. to be, there has to be some of that same effect.
Symmetry.
With the cruise lines. So we'll be the judge of that, but I'm very optimistic on what we're going to experience. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. While Jordan is boarding a cruise ship, yours truly will finally be stepping foot back on to Walt Disney World property. So, looking forward to spending my birthday weekend of all weekends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be down there March 15th and 16th with my son. Maybe get a little birthday dinner or breakfast in, depending on what's available for me to book. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you're pretty...
Again, looking forward to being back down.
You're pretty long removed from the parks at this point, aren't you? It's been a while.
It's been a hot minute.
You going to remember your way around?
Oh, yeah.
You have to listen to a few episodes of the podcast, figure out where everything is.
Yeah.
But I really do want to try a new place, make it worth my while for dining. So really looking forward to at least bringing something back to the table for us to talk about and discuss, along with you boys with your cruises.
Yeah.
A little flower and garden action, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I got my first taste of an open weekend. Yeah. I suggest it.
Yeah.
And I'm so pissed. I am so pissed that I didn't take off the entire weekend, because literally the very next day after I leave, the Commodores roll into town.
Oh, man.
Oh, I'm so pissed about that. But
Well, what is one article of business that you'll handle while you're there? Like, what is one thing you know for sure you're doing come hell or high water?
Yeah.
Well, Jacob has been on a Rise of the Resistance kick.
Oh, boy.
So we are aiming to hit gonna, that for
gonna
sure.
Lightning lane it? Are you going to rope drop it? What's the plan there?
Whatever is necessary.
I like it. I like it. Yeah. I
always have a plan.
Yep. Whatever is necessary. The child has been asking to go to Hollywood
the child,
studios.
I like that reference.
I know. It's like, yeah. Yeah. It's like, was that on purpose?
Oh, and also, I want to visit Hydraulics, the new stand that popped up over there. So I want to try and test that out and try again. Bring something back. Oh, yeah.
Got to do it for the people.
I just want to bring something back. Yeah.
Well, that'd be
throw
fun.
It up on the socials as well. So make sure you stay tuned on Instagram. It'll be up there, and maybe have additional content. Maybe we'll grace your timelines.
Yeah, at Off the Monorails. If you're not following, go follow us everywhere that you get social media. At Off the Monorails.
I don't have to cut you guys off because I'm the one doing all the blabbing tonight, so I'll cut myself off. And this is always our banter session of the episode. So this coffee break is brought to you by our good friends at ExpeditionRoasters.com. If you like coffee in any form or fashion, this is the place that you need to go. You've got theme parks and pop culture inspired coffee with a vast variety of flavors from different desserts and alcohol inspirations, with coffee always being number one on the palate. And I know between the three of us, we've tried everything their catalog has to offer, and I have not been disappointed yet, that is for sure. And always, always use our affiliate link in our episode descriptions to give them a visit, and use code OFFTHEMONORAILS at checkout to get yourselves 10% off on every order that you use with that code. And while you're at it, go ahead and get that cart to $65 or more, and that'll earn you some free shipping, and join their Beans Rewards program so you can earn points towards more free coffee. And just keep the vicious cycle going, because I have I've racked up some points with some of these orders I've placed. I've been dabbling in the coffee game. No shame.
You've always been ordering.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's hard not to, man.
Yeah.
It really is.
But again, that's ExpeditionRoasters.com. And fellas, what kind of news we got?
Gentlemen, you are going to be some of the first. Jordan actually may be one of the first to see this, but the fabulous outfits at Castaway Key. They have all got a facelift.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we Mickey, Minnie, and all the pals will have brand new outfits, Jordan. So
I'll get to see it in a couple days. I love it. Got updated. I'll see it in a couple days.
They look great. Very colorful, very very island-inspired, and very Disney. They did it right.
They better for them prices. I'm feeling it.
I like to think I played a part in that.
Yeah. Brought to you by viewers like you. Thank you.
Thanks.
So, as you know, the other day, the Disney website was, you say, in a bit of a stalemate. And that was because over in Disneyland, Magic Key passes have gone back on sale.
Yeah. You getting one?
As soon as you are.
Okay.
Did you see their pass holder magnets? They're so much cooler than ours. They're so much cooler. I'm jealous.
I don't know. We got Hey. That's
no, theirs are way cooler. Ours are the same design every year. These were so cool. It was like a old school television set with like Mickey and Minnie sitting on the couch. Like, it was so cool. I want one.
Just fly on over and get you one, man.
Yep.
It's just money.
That's what eBay's for, right?
It's just money.
About a 6-hour flight and a couple $100 will get you there. And also, something I'm excited about, Star Tours. We have some new content dropping for Star Tours.
Do tell.
We will now have locations and characters from Ahsoka, Andor, and The Mandalorian now featured in Star Tours. I am personally very excited about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's about time. Yeah. I mean, that's what makes Star Tours so great, right, is that they can evolve the storyline. You don't know what you're going to get anytime you step onto that ride. And they can just keep on updating. I wish they did the same thing with Smuggler's Run. Like, why haven't they done... Now, I know there's different premise, right? And you got to have these... But you could still make it different, right? Even the controls could do different things depending on the storyline. I don't know why they are trying to force this narrative. And maybe because it's Galaxy's Edge and you're on Batuu, right? And so you have to kind of play into that timeline, but aren't we supposed to be kind of in that timeline with The Mandalorian, yep. right? And so Smuggler's Run may be worse than Star Wars, Star Tours, just for that reason. The fact that the storyline can change statement. And it doesn't, I mean, it's so cool, right? To be in the Millennium Falcon, and whether you're driving it or hell, if you're just being an engineer and pressing some buttons, it don't really matter.
Right.
It's still cool to be in the Millennium Falcon, right? But your experience can, we've talked about this too. Your experience can be dramatically changed by whoever is driving that.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so Star Tours, yeah, you're just sitting there, but the fact that you get to experience a different storyline essentially every time you ride it is pretty awesome. It adds to the repeatability of that ride. I've ridden Star Tours far more times than I've ridden Smuggler's Run.
Agreed.
Because I know what I already know what the ride's going to be on Smuggler's Run. And fact is, the wait times usually triple or quadruple the amount of time.
You know what? And I think it's kind of funny because we have seen Batuu evolve from what Disney originally wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And you see that with them introducing more and more characters and different timelines just roaming the grounds. What makes you think that they're not already talking about doing some updates for visuals and for the ride updates?
They need to.
They need to. Because you can still play into, you know, doing what Honda...
Yeah,
you know,
I would hope.
Rolling with Hondo and going after some things. But give us some different scenes. Give us some different things that we're going after.
Give me a reason to care about who Hondo is.
Right.
Bingo.
I mean, that's... They need to... This man, we're getting way down the rabbit hole. But
we are.
They need to... They need to bring the stories and the themes of Batuu into the actual Star Wars universe, right? Like, they need to bring it into the storylines that we're seeing on these series, right? I mean, we have, outside of the novels, Batuu does not exist. And so they need to make it part of the storyline and actually make it mean something to the audience, where you can, there's some, I'll use the Wizarding World at Universal as an example. It means something to walk into Hogsmeade and to Diagon Alley at Universal, because these are places that you've read about, then you've seen them on the big screen, and then you can walk into the same place, right? That's why it means so. It's so magical for that to happen.
Feel that those transition.
Those lands are amazing. Amazing. Universal did an incredible job with them. When they did Hogsmeade and they did the castle, and I didn't think it could get better. And then they did Diagon Alley. And insane. I can't wait to see what they do at Epic Universe with
You mean Diagon Alley?
Did he say diagonally? that's the difference here is, I'm blown away every time I walk into Batuu, right, into Galaxy's Edge, and instantly you cannot see anything. You can hear all the sounds around you, but the land doesn't mean anything. The place doesn't mean anything outside of it being in that theme park. Once they start to bring it out and make it part of it,
part of the canon, like
us, then that's what I want to see. I want to see Mando walk into Oga's and have a fight scene, right? Like, that's what I want to see. I want to
see. Show me why they are here.
I want to see Ahsoka walk through that
Star Wars bar fights,
right? Like, that's what I want. Hell, give me Grogu chomping on a Ronto rap. You know, something. Give me something.
Show me DJ Rex throwing down.
Give me, hey, just let Harrison Dula walk around. I'll follow her around all day.
There you go.
Follow her to the edge of the earth.
Hell, any planet.
Yeah. Tell you.
You're my shooting star.
Something like that.
But yeah. But yeah, I hear you out on that, man. They really need to tie up those loose ends, and hopefully they're already talking about that.
Well, see, that's the beautiful thing of this too, and with the potential for expansion, where of course the failed resort is nearby, there's that little bit of hope we can cling to, that some expansion happens and maybe some of that storyline gets expanded a little bit, at least just a little bit. And we'll just, you know, we got a lot of money coming to Orlando over the course of the next, I think, 10 years from what the announcement mm-hmm. was a couple months ago. So we shall see what that has in store.
Bob Iger has now dropped the bombshell that Avatar, or an Avatar-based land, will be put in California at Disneyland.
At some point.
At some point.
Yeah, they said it on the Morgan Stanley call, conference call that they had a few days back. But this was also, didn't this come out at some point recently in the last couple of months where someone had said, they kind of announced that, yeah, we're going to put, the rumor was, yeah, there's, you know, Pandora and Avatar Land, something is coming to Disneyland. And then they kind of retracted, like people start talking about it. And so I don't know if it just got leaked at that time and now Iger's just owning it. But yeah, I mean, it would be dumb of them not to. Part of me, right, which is, hey, let's keep some Disney World things in Disney World and not just keep sharing across everything. But to be fair, the last few attractions that have been added to Walt Disney World were straight copies, right? We got Remy's Adventure over at Epcot, which is a carbon copy from Paris. And yep. We got Tron, which is a carbon copy from Shanghai. So, I had put my foot in my own mouth, you know, with the copying or stealing from other properties. So, yeah, whatever. Maybe they'll do it even better, and we'll just have more to be jealous about there.
Yep.
The problem is they don't have much room, right? They don't have as much land and things like that to work with. That's why if you go to, I haven't stepped foot personally, but if you go to Galaxy's Edge there, the pathways and all that much more narrow, much smaller because of the lack of land, essentially.
Yep. And lastly, on the news docket, we got a new trailer for Inside Out 2 that's going to be coming out in theaters in June.
Yeah.
So looking forward to seeing that. The new trailer looked really good. It was funny. Can't wait to see how the complexity of all the different emotions all work out together.
Yeah.
I'm thinking anxiety is not who we think they are.
Well, no, we'll see.
I think there's a twist in this okay. storyline.
Okay. It's going to be interesting. Just based off the trailer. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I can't. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
You know, the first one's amazing. I love the first. Yeah. Yeah. I'm really glad they're like really going for it, right, with this sequel and trying to firmly establish this franchise. You know, that's kind of what they do with.
It's kind of like with Toy Story, how we grew up with it. Like now other kids are growing up with
some other
characters
like, yeah, like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Zootopia 2 is coming out later. Yeah. Right.
So with Inside Out 2, there's a, like not the number 2, but also the parent dynamic there, the adults can relate to that part of it with the parents. Yeah. And there's some, you know, some innuendo, especially in the Riley's first date short, you know, there's some things there adults catch on to, but there's a lot to appreciate from a family standpoint as a whole too. So the kids get something, adults get something, then collectively, I could see them getting a third one out of this if they play number 2 correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, that will probably wrap up the news then. I can't wait to dive into today's topic because it's going to be awesome. We're going to take a play on a few episodes ago. We started a little short series of the most underrated at Walt Disney World. We covered the most underrated restaurants in the parks and the most underrated restaurants at the resorts. And we decided, you know, we kind of teased it in those episodes too, but we decided, hey, it would be cool what if we flipped the table and said, hey, what's some of the most overrated places in Walt Disney World to dine? Some places that we've been to before, some places that we haven't and we've purposely avoided because of the reputation that they may have. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to put together a collective list, a collective top 10. If you listened to last week's episode, you may be familiar with the format a little bit. Essentially, we're just going to build a collective list starting at number 10, working our way up all the way to number one, and giving you a list that we feel solid in and saying these are the most overrated places to dine at Walt Disney World Resort. And maybe you shouldn't spend your money or time at these places and maybe go to some of the other places maybe that were on our most underrated list to dine at instead. So, gentlemen, I am going to go first here. This should be no surprise to anyone who's listened to this show at any amount of time. I've mentioned it several times. This is a place that looks like it's very nice to go to, very attractive, very unique dining location. It's you may look at it and say, hey, I'd like to go on that boat and eat there. Don't be fooled, people. Don't be fooled. I'm talking about a little place at Disney Springs called Paddlefish. Do not be fooled. This is an easy number 10 for me as the most
overrated
restaurant at Walt Disney World. Is it the worst? Is it the most overrated? No, it's not number one, but I would still avoid it. And the cost, the service, even the quality of the food, not great. The only thing going for it is the location. But if you get sat next to the kitchen where you will just hear and smell things you don't want to hear or smell, then it won't be a great location either. So there you have it. Number 10, Paddlefish at Disney Springs.
I knew that was coming.
it was warranted.
I just didn't know where.
It was fueled.
Yeah.
So I'll go ahead and kick it off here with the number 9 selection. I'm going to go with a restaurant over at Epcot. And I personally have not dined here, but I've heard a lot about it. I almost ate here like 2 or 3 times, but ended up pulling the plug. And I'm talking about Coral Reef.
Oh, man.
I have heard some horror stories about this restaurant. So I avoided this restaurant because of those. Whether they've corrected them over the years or not, I have yet to have determined that, but number 9, Coral Reef.
Yeah, I do know they just got a new menu recently. The menu is very small, and you would think that they would have a lot of seafood here, but they still don't, which is kind of weird. Yeah, I haven't given it a fair shot, but I still might try it just to confirm this notion, but I don't
right.
think it's
that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially the price point still. And to be in
a park, the price points,
there's better options inside parks, especially inside Epcot to go to for sure.
Absolutely.
There's
absolutely.
Probably, you know, 8 to 10 places I would choose before Coral Reef at this
absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely. All right. So I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off with my first pick. And that would be the Hollywood Brown Derby at Hollywood Studios. And I know that this place has like a cult following for the people that do go here.
Yeah, I'm about to say, you just hurt some feelings.
I have zero interest in a $32 chicken salad, for one. The charcuterie board at Baseline's better and cheaper.
Yep.
And as a whole, the menu to me just looks bland and boring.
Yeah. There's nothing exciting on this menu whatsoever. If your claim to fame and your most coveted thing on your menu is a Cobb salad
or a damn grapefruit cake, who gives a shit?
Like, for real,
we're in trouble, boys. Yeah.
What a world of flavor!
Ooh. Get out of here. That cake is $14, by the way.
What a world.
Yeah, no, thank you, Hollywood Brown Derby. No, thank you. Waste of time, waste of money.
Mm.
Great pick. All right. So number 7 here. I have to be careful a little bit because there's some that definitely need to be included and definitely need to be up there on the ladder. And so I need to make sure that there's room for them to belong where go where they belong.
That's the tough part about these lists is we gotta leave room for the ones we really hate.
Loathe entirely.
I'm gonna go with another place at Epcot. And again, I think it just gets the attention because it's in France, so it might be fancy. Chefs de France. I'm just not bothered by it whatsoever. In my opinion, again, overpriced for what it is. And it's definitely not the best French food at Disney, but they want to price it like it almost is. So, I understand, like, it's a step down from Monsieur Paul, right? Monsieur Paul is a signature dining, fine dining establishment, but I would rather save my money up and go to Monsieur Paul versus spending it at Chefs de France and getting an okay meal. So, yeah.
I can get behind this pick, though. I'll never argue that. It's a little pretentious.
Yeah, and it just... there's just not anything great on the menu, you know, like you have some salmon and you got, you know, like, sure, they have ratatouille, they have shrimp and scallops. I don't need a macaroni and cheese that costs $27.
No, thank you.
No.
I'll go to Flame Tree Barbecue and get some that's better.
There you go. Or hell, cheaper. Even the front porch at House of Blues would get you better.
Bingo.
No, so this is just it's overpriced and just overinflated of what type of place this is. No, I'd rather save my money and go somewhere else.
Fighting. All right, so like you, I have to be careful here because I have two of them that I feel like I could throw right here. But I'm choosing the least likely that would have wound up here. So I'm going to go with the Skipper Canteen, Magic Kingdom.
Ooh, okay.
Sleeper pick. And I did not even think about that one.
Reason being, what? Like, look at the menu options. They are the same for lunch and dinner.
Yep.
Even though they have a separate lunch and dinner option.
Yeah.
So you're not fooling me. You're not pulling the wool over my eyes. You know,
I'd say they
could have done so much better with this restaurant.
They could. The theming is great inside, but yeah, the food offering's lackluster. Yeah, and what they do have, I think, is super overpriced for the portion size. You're paying for a meal that's in the Magic Kingdom, right? The most prolific theme park in the world, just, you know, arguably. So, yeah, everything's gonna be a premium here, but, yeah, it's not anything great. Like, it's okay food, right?
Like I could get the steak at Grand Floridian Cafe and pay it cheaper, and it tastes better.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a better experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just wrap it all up into one. This is why Skipper Canteen is in P6 on this list.
All right.
Oh, boy. Down to my last two picks. I'm trying to figure out which one I want here. Okay. So I'll choose this one because I don't dislike it as much as the next one because I've actually experienced my last pick. But just based off perception and what I've seen, I have not even wanted to visit this place whatsoever, but that would be Chef Mickey's at the Contemporary.
Yeah, it was on my list too.
Again. A lackluster, not so impressive menu. It just, to me, looks like a Golden Corral offering. But you just pay $65 a person. Wrong. And you got creepy people on the monorail staring at you the whole time you're eating.
Yeah. The layout's weird, too, here. You know, you can get stuck in this, like, side rooms and, like, barely get to see the characters and stuff.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's like... I think people go to Chef Mickey's more so on nostalgia because they grew up going to Chef Mickey's. And so they want to bring their kids to Chef Mickey's
back when it was affordable.
Well, yeah. And back when it was one of the only places to see the Fab Five outside of the parks.
Yep.
there's plenty of other character dining experiences. You can see these characters. And so go to those places instead. We've talked about a few of these places, including, you know, like Cape May Cafe. Yeah, you won't see Mickey there, but you'll see everyone else. There's other options to go to see these characters that are absolutely better quality of food and just price point. You're always going to have a premium on character dining. And this one is one of the highest, if not the highest. I mean, it's over $60 to eat here.
Yeah.
For an adult. It's insane. It's insane. For just for mediocre buffet. So
yeah, for that comparison, right, I could take that same amount of money and go get myself a steak dinner at the Yachtsman.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. Damn, Jordan.
Case in point.
Jordan pulled out the mediocre word, man.
Absolutely.
We are really starting to hurt some feelings around here.
This one could easily been in my top three and literally just one. Shuffled.
Oh, you're not
around.
Wrong.
It could have definitely been number one.
You're not wrong.
Definitely could have been number one.
All right, boys, let the shit hit the fan here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Top four.
I'm just gonna go in my next order then. I don't want to break any hearts on this one because this is a place that I've gone to a few times and I do enjoy it. It's one that I went to as a kid. It's one that I've been to several times as an adult. I love taking the kids here for breakfast. I absolutely like the breakfast much more than I do the dinner service. But I do think the dinner service is overpriced again. And yes, it is a character meal, and yes, it is in Magic Kingdom, but again, just in my opinion, it's not worth it, at least for the dinner. The special occasions, especially when my mom's here, she loves the characters here. And again, it's more of a nostalgia thing, so it's definitely a special occasion type thing, but I still think it's a little bit overrated as a total, in totality. That's the Crystal Palace at Magic Kingdom.
Yes.
So, again, character meal with Winnie the Pooh characters, but again, it's buffet style meal. Yes, much better food offering than Chef Mickey's has, but still, you have to go with the mindset that it's in Magic Kingdom and it's a character meal, so it's going to have a higher price tag. Is that price tag worth it? For some, it might be. I think it's overrated.
Yeah, and see, like, I had this one on my list too, and I actually had a little bit of a notes breakdown beside each one for my reasoning. And mine was, I don't give really two shits about Winnie the Pooh characters. More so, and
damn,
I'm gonna probably piss some people off here, but Tigger being neon orange bothers me. He is way too orange to be the real, like, the Tigger that I know.
He is a little orange
construction worker Tigger.
He's a little extra orange now that you mention it.
Reflective vest.
They needed
me for years.
They could stand to tone it down a little bit. I am there with you. I do think he's one of the best character meet and greets.
So you want struggle Tigger, not well upkept Tigger.
Yeah, I want Tigger without all of the colors, the color safe fabric softener. Like, kind of wash it in some ninja water a few times.
Yeah.
Go beat it up against the 100-acre wood.
There you go. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah.
It's solid pick. I will not argue that one at all.
All right, so it's really time to hurt some feelings. If they haven't been hurt yet, this is where Be Our Guest lands.
Absolutely.
I think this is a perfect spot for it. I have personally ate here twice. I enjoyed the food, but man, the experience is just, it's so busy in there, and it's like you can't really appreciate it.
And it's rushed.
It's very rushed.
Yeah, it's very rushed.
Like, there's so much, like, going on around there that it's hard to really, like, you can't just get up and go into the rose petal room and have an experience because you have people just sitting there like, why are you in here bothering me while I'm eating?
Thanks for standing right next awkward. To me while I try to eat my food. Yeah. Yeah. Did you go for breakfast or dinner or lunch?
I did the dinner service.
Okay.
The prefix.
Yeah. So I went for breakfast when they had breakfast service here. They don't have that anymore, which tells you something too, right?
It was dog water.
Again, it was actually it was the best value, the best way to get in here for the value. And that's why we went, because I absolutely think that what you're getting for dinner service and the price you're paying, horrendous value. And so it's like, all right, to get your foot in the door and to start and to see some of the things, breakfast, awesome. You paid $24, but it was like a damn continental breakfast I could have had at the Holiday Inn for free, right? Like, that's what it might as well have been. Yeah, I got the foot in the door and got to see it one time. That was enough for me. I'm definitely not going back for dinner. This is way too much money. The value's not there. Again, it's a the character. They want to call it character dining at dinner. You get to kind of like wave to Beast, you know? Like,
yeah, that's about it.
So he kind of like quickly walks through. And like I said, I felt rushed at breakfast. I couldn't imagine what dinner felt like. But yeah, it's not for me. And this is definitely a good spot for it.
Like, to justify the pricing, like, there would need to be a third less seating and actual interactions with the characters. Like, not standing in an hour and a half long line at the end of dinner to see Beast.
Yes.
Yeah. In a one-on-one situation. Like, that's not how it should be.
Oh, boy. Number two. So... this was the most hated one on my list, so I hope that I don't mess up Jordan's number one. But this is all I've got left. But this is where Rainforest Cafe falls for me.
Oh! I kind of saw this coming, but I forgot about it.
Rainforest Cafe.
I forgot about it, too.
Is dog shit, and you can put T-Rex right there with it. And in my notes, I have it as TGI Friday's rich cousin. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not, man. I hated it so much. I hated it so much. Dude,
the meteor showers, the thunderstorms every 30 minutes is just a headache. I would
overpriced. The food was terrible.
I would rather just eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich beside the monkey cage at the zoo while they're throwing their shit at me. Honestly.
Oh, that's better entertainment, that's for sure.
Yeah. Honestly, too, the worst part is the cheesy-ass gift shop in the front you got to walk through, because your kids see all this dumb crap they don't need, and it's like $37 for some stupid T-Rex bubble blower thing. Like, I'll just stop there. Yep.
They'll use twice, and yeah.
Yeah. Loud atmosphere.
Left in the yard.
Sensory overload. Subpar food. Expensive as hell. That's all I got to say. I got a souvenir beer glass from there. That's my only thing I have to show that I went there.
How much that beer cost you?
Right,
$24.
Who knows? That was one of my first Disney visits, so I was still starstruck.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, number two. I figured that was a healthy spot for that, if not number one.
It is healthy, and I'm glad you didn't take from me, because there is a definitive number one, and maybe you forgot about it just like I forgot about Rainforest Cafe, which now I don't know how I forgot about Rainforest Cafe.
I'm hoping me and you are on the same page, but if not, I got an honorable mention.
Well, let's tear this Band-Aid off. Let's get to the number one.
Yeah. Numero uno.
Also found inside one of the parks. Also found at the Magic Kingdom. Which there's quite a few on this list already. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the most, if not the most expensive character dining experience you can have at Walt Disney World property, Cinderella's Royal Table.
There it is.
Yes, sir.
We agreed on number one.
How in the hell do you justify $84 plus tax and gratuity for a three-course meal?
You've got me 50 shades of up.
Like, the best entree I can get in this prefix menu is a filet mignon. That's the best thing I can get for $84. That's the best thing I can get.
That son of a bitch better be 10 ounces or better.
No, that thing better be dry aged for 28 days. It better be 16 ounces or more.
And thick bacon. Don't give me that lousy shit.
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah. I want Smithfield, damn it. I don't want Gwaltney.
$84 for adults. $49 for a child. For a child to eat.
And you will not get the value out of that.
Let me do some math on that. You said $84 an adult.
Yep.
And $49 a child.
$49. Yep.
Ryan, that's $300 for your
$315
family.
Before taxes and gratuity for my family of five. For my kids to eat five bites of something and say, I'm full, where's the ice cream?
Here's the kid selections. Because you're going here for the kids, right? For the princesses, right?
Yep.
Here's the kids, create your own entrees. You get to choose one of these. Seared fish, chicken strips, grilled steak, macaroni and cheese.
Imagine
and then you
paying
get to,
$50 for mac and cheese.
Choose your sides for veggies, mashed potatoes, rice pilaf, or corn on the cob.
Imagine paying $50
no.
for chicken tendies and corn on the cob.
Does it come with clown makeup?
Yes. You got to be out your mind if you go in here.
My goodness. Yeah.
I just want to, for comparison's sake, because that
well, we're really dunking on them now.
Oh, yeah. Come on. that kids menu offering sound familiar to you, Ryan? Because
yeah.
It sounded familiar to me, and I wanted to compare it to Steakhouse 71.
Yep.
A place that is literally 10 to 15 minutes walk away from
maybe
Cinderella's Royal Table. Granted, you're not going to see Cinderella and some more of her princess friends there at Steakhouse 71. But if you went with the kids' grilled steak here, which also comes with two side selections, the grilled steak here, $15, gentlemen.
Yep.
$15,
and
not $49.
And it comes $49. With a big-ass ice cream sundae at the end.
Yes.
So let's add that value up to
Come on, man.
Yeah.
What is it, about $40 an adult, roughly?
Yeah,
roughly.
Yes, yeah, 40 to 50, depending on the cut of steak you get. But yeah, and then $45 for all three of my kids to get a steak dinner with dessert. Yeah,
all three of your kids can eat a steak dinner for less than one could eat at Cinderella's Royal Table
to get some raggedy ass macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
So for those that are keeping track, $315 at Cinderella's Royal Table, and what Ryan just priced out. Maybe $160 for his family of five.
Yeah.
At Steakhouse 71.
Well, I vividly remember paying like probably $220, $230, and that was after handsomely tipping my waiter at Steakhouse 71. And that was also with me having a drink with my dinner. And that was for my entire family of five.
Yeah.
Way better value.
Think, people. Economics. So I want to throw in a honorable mention here because it is equally just as terrible value wise because you're going to get full so quick, and there may be some hate here, and you know what, it is what it is. Hoop-de-doo review 100%. Especially if you are not into that entertainment, like, you are going to have such a terrible experience here. And then the value, you're just not going to get it there to justify that price unless you have absolutely starved yourself all day. So I just can't justify that pricing. It wasn't as bad as what all of these were on the list. It's close, but just another honorable mention that just didn't land a spot.
What I don't understand about the Hoop-de-doo review are the seats up top. They don't even face the stage.
Yeah,
they face the wall. You get a discount of like $10 because you decide to sit there, and you got to crane your neck around to even see the show.
You put your nose in the corner like you did something bad in class.
Yeah.
So
you chose these seats, remember?
You guys want a real hot take here?
Oh, let's throw it out.
Oh,
there.
Oh boy, it's gonna hurt all three of us. Because I sat down earlier and was talking with Brianna about the overrated restaurants while I was building my list. And then she started firing off some of the ones that she thought was overrated. So one that she deems overrated, strictly based off of the menu, but not the atmosphere, Three Bridges.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. She said as far as atmosphere goes, it's great, but she wasn't too dazzled by the menu, which if I remember correctly, she had some sort of seafood pasta, I believe, there. Mm. But I was a bit taken back by that because, I mean, the curry chicken I had was pretty good.
I had a good experience myself.
Yeah. Brian, if you're listening right now, we might have some words about that one.
You meet me in this dark alley.
We should try something better.
Oh, good Lord. I had to throw it in there, though, because we're doing some hot takes right now with these honorable mentions.
Yeah, that's hot. That's a hot take. That's for sure.
Yeah, that was pretty hot.
Yeah, we might not get along after that one right there. I'm just kidding. It's all right.
Any other honorable mentions that you guys have in mind?
I have one more, and it just recently started pissing me off because I used to love it, but they took away my walking taco. So Pecos Bill's, Kick Rocks. You're overrated now.
Yeah, and I don't know if that
into some Cajun cuisine place soon.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know if it's falls to the category for me, right? Like, I did think about that change, but it was never one of those that was like highly rated or highly talked about or touted, right? Like, and so for me, it wasn't like overrated. It was just like, it just went a few more notches down the totem pole because of the menu changes, right? Like, it wasn't anything special, so to speak, right? But it was definitely better than what it is now.
Yeah.
So.
But we, like, honestly, same Jordan, like, now my entire list is crossed off. Like, everything I had written down is on this list. So this one was a little more easy to come by than our underrated version. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that about wraps up our, I guess, list of hot takes, but we seem to agree on all of them. For the most part.
Yeah. I'm not. The only one I give a little hesitancy to, and again, it's just because I haven't given its fair shake, is Coral Reef. And I think we need to do that. I think we need to try that out, Justin. Maybe we can do that together. But just to recap our list here for the audience, starting at number 10, we have Paddlefish at Disney Springs. Number 9, Coral Reef at Epcot. And number 8, Hollywood Brown Derby over at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Number 7, Chefs de France at Epcot in the France Pavilion. Number 6, over at Magic Kingdom in Adventureland, Skipper Canteen. Number 5, Chef Mickey's over at the Contemporary Resort. Number 4, the Crystal Palace at the Magic Kingdom. Number 3, Be Our Guest at the Magic Kingdom. Number 2, Rainforest Cafe. Either all location. Disney Springs. Animal Kingdom. Your local neighborhood. Don't. And number 1, the most overrated restaurant at Walt Disney World Resort, Cinderella's Royal Table.
And there it is. Well, I'm glad that we were able to get this off our chests.
Yeah. Funny, after hearing that rundown, there's a lot of them at the Magic Kingdom that just got shit on.
Yeah.
There's just not good food at Magic Kingdom, man. And we didn't even put, right, because we went into this with the notion of it being overrated, right? We didn't even include the restaurants that, you know, we don't even think of to go to, right? The Plaza or Tony's, right? Which, again, they've changed.
Cosmic Rays.
They've changed menus recently, so maybe we should try them out to see where they fall on the list now. But to me, those are just mediocre already, so they're not even worth mentioning in an overrated environment. But like we've talked about previously, we talked about it on our most underrated list. You want good food at Magic Kingdom? Liberty Tree Tavern's your pick.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
it. Yep. If you want good quick service, Columbia Harbor House. I mean, that if you're looking for food, that's probably those are your top choices at Magic Kingdom, in my opinion.
And they're always readily available at any given day.
Yeah,
that's the best part.
Sure seems that way.
Which is crazy that the ones we think are the best are the least trafficked. It makes no sense at all. But
yeah, what's amazing to me is how hard it is to get reservations at these places that are on this list.
Well, think about
and
how
that's why
much
they're
money,
the most overrated.
Think about how much money they make on bad food every damn day.
Oh, gosh.
It's sickening.
Yeah.
Things that'll piss me off for $400, Alex. Exactly.
What's crazy is there's so many good restaurants at Walt Disney World, right? There's so many good food offerings at Walt Disney World. And you get people talking about places that include places like this list. And it's just, it's crazy to me.
Like, open your eyes. Yeah. Let me show you.
Yeah. Aladdin just started singing in my head. It's crazy.
Hmm. Yeah.
A whole new world.
It's always the cliche things that end up being popular just because they're advertised. People don't think about the things that aren't advertised. They just, they don't research. They just see what's there at face value. And that's what, that's all they know. And it's,
and that's why we're here.
It's a shame. Yeah. That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. Let's shine a light on the good stuff and the bad stuff. You know where to go. You know what to avoid. You know what you can spend your money on. You know what to not waste your money on. Hope these lists help. That's what we're trying to do with these lists. Have a little fun discussing it throughout, but ultimately help you spend money much wiser.
Yeah. Well, that does it for this whole ordeal, I guess. But before we get out of here, just want to make sure you guys are following along on our socials. We are at Off the Monorails across the board, that being X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, you name it. We're there. Just look us up. Make sure you're following along. Subscribe. Comment. Please comment. We love hearing from you guys. We love the interactions. It's the whole reason why we do what we do. And man, it just, it makes a big difference whenever we put hot takes like this out there and we get other people's opinions on it, because it gets some good conversation gyrating, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And also, Apple Podcasts, Spotify users, you guys, give us some ratings. Let us know what you like about the podcast, what you don't like about the podcast. Help us reach a broader audience by leaving your star rating and maybe a little brief synopsis of what you think of the show. It's greatly appreciated. It helps us reach more people. And above all else, share us with friends, family, anybody that you know that would enjoy this podcast. Please share away. Do the free things first and help us reach a broader audience. It's greatly appreciated.
Yep. That's going to wrap it up for this one, guys. Again, we're going to churn out a few more episodes over the next couple of weeks on time, on schedule. So normal Friday releases for you all while we enjoy some time away doing some fun things. Again, I'm on a boat right now. So
he's on a boat.
I'm on a boat. I got my flippy floppies. We're having fun. Justin's taking rum. Justin's taking some Disney in. He's taking some baseball in. I know Ryan's playing in some things too. So appreciate you guys for listening. Thank you so much for staying tuned in while we enjoy some R&R. And while you're at it, if you want to support the show, visit offthemonorails.com. Head to the shop. We got some great things there. Great merch. If you're listening to the show, we've soft launched some things for you listeners only. You're the first ones to hear about it. We haven't advertised it yet, but there's some new options in the shop. Go check them out. Get festive and enjoy, whether you want to grab something for your trip to Flower and Garden or just to the parks in general, or you want to just rock some OTM branded swag. Choices are all there and aplenty.
Yep. Well, guys, it has been a total pleasure once again to get together and do this thing. That'll be it for now. But future Jordan, when you're listening to this, fair winds and following seas, my friend, and we'll see you when you get back from the islands.
Toodaloo.
Hopefully the rum won't be gone either.
Yeah. Well, anyways,
I was always on.
Well, that being said, we'll catch you guys next time. I'm Ryan.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is Off the Monorails.